Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete are joined by Waiver Wire James, the one and only. Who are the top options to target on the wire and what to do between the pipes? Plus, DFS strategy, premium plays, and a few value spots. Let's drop the puck on the week ahead.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday morning to you, Jensen and Reese and Bender around the round table talking fantasy pucks and previewing the week ahead. Some waiver wire talk as usual, Rob.
What's up, everybody? Hope everyone had a good weekend, and I sure did. And I noticed a couple interesting things, Pete, that I wanted to kick around here. First off, the Florida Panthers, very strong weekend of hockey, as predicted on the show last week. Is this a good thing for Sergei Bobrovsky now that the forwards are scoring like 2-3 points a game?
Oh, absolutely, and we hit the nail on the head with the stack of them on Saturday. Bob beat his former team, then he beat a beleaguered Sharks team that got blown out in two Florida games over the weekend. That was an eye-opener for sure for the wrong reasons, but good to see Bob getting going. A lot of people were on our tail in our goalie rankings, the goalie master. How do you still have Sergei Bobrovsky in your top 15? You know why? These are rest-of-season rankings, and we knew he was going to bounce back. Even if it's favorable opponents, you love to see it here from Bob.
100%. And two interesting notes for the forwards. Barkov and Huberdeau now surpass the 35-point mark this season. Still pretty early, so impressive there. But I noticed it was Pavel Bure was the only other Panther to surpass that point mark at this point in the year. So very encouraging for fantasy owners of those two players.
And if I remember correctly, Barkov beat Bure's franchise record in single-season points last year for Florida, and that was only 96. As of right now, both of those guys you mentioned are on pace for over 100, two of the 10 across the league. Mm-hmm. So Florida's gotten going right now offensively. Obviously, Dadonov, people were up and down about him, but he brings the easiest, most convenient exposure to those two.
And if you don't have any of those guys on your fantasy squad but looking to make some moves, let's bring in James Harding, who writes the top 10 waiver wire piece for NHL.com/fantasy. Waiver wire, James, let's just tee up right away. Anybody catch your eye this weekend?
Yeah, well, when I'm looking at the waiver wire right now, there are a few players who I'm definitely targeting. First off, Alex Tuck from the Vegas Golden Knights. Definitely, since he came back from that injury that cost him most of the first portion of the season, he has been playing very well as of late, even though he had his four-game point streak ended against the New York Rangers over the weekend. He's been absolutely on fire. Kevin Fiala, I know you guys mentioned him last week. He's been playing excellent for the Minnesota Wild right now, and Tristan Jarry from the Pittsburgh Penguins is really pushing Matt Murray with the struggles that Murray is having so far here early in the season. So there are a number of players that we can definitely talk about right now.
So you mentioned the Penguins, you mentioned the Rangers. Between Tristan Jarry and Alexander Georgiev, who do you like more for the rest of the season? Because both are making really strong cases for not only timeshares, but the starting job.
I think when you just look at the body of work and what's in front of them, you have to go with Jarry at the moment. He leads the NHL among qualifying goalies who have started 9 games or more in both save percentage and in goals against average. We saw what he did last season when he came in, when Murray was hurt for that long stretch last season, when it was Jarry and Casey DeSmith kind of going back and forth, and he kind of wrestled the backup job away from Casey DeSmith and you know, was Murray's backup for the remainder of the season. So it's not really surprising that Tristan Jarry is almost kind of pulling a Matt Murray, kind of what Murray did with Marc-Andre Fleury a few years ago when Murray first came up. But I would say that just because of the team that's in front of him, the system that they're in, and how much I have trust in one team versus the other, I would be putting it in Tristan Jarry right now. And it puts me in a weird spot because I have Matt Murray in one of my leagues, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out if I should trade him or not, if he's going to be able to turn it around. But right now, if you're a Murray owner and Jarry's available, go out and pick him up so that you have the handcuff. But I think Jarry is showing enough that he's going to have standalone value the rest of the season.
I agree 100%, James. And I actually had someone on Twitter this morning say that they offered Matt Murray for Max Domi, which I think is a pretty fair deal for both sides, forward, goalie, in perspective there. But Shane Gostisbehere on your list for defensemen this week. Now, what can you tell me about Shane Gostisbehere, and do you trust that he is back for good?
I don't fully trust that he's back for good, but I trust that he's finally starting to get back to where we had expected he was going to be over the last couple of seasons. Right now, when you look at what he's done, he scored a goal on Saturday against Ottawa. He had a goal and an assist two games before that against Toronto, and then he had another goal two games before that against Detroit. So, you know, he has 4 points in his last five games. He is skating on the third pair at even strength, but he is running the point on their first power play unit again, mm-hmm. when they are on the man advantage right now. So one of those 4 points that he has is a power play goal in that five-game span. So I think that Gostisbehere is beginning to get back to where he was. I think with the coaching change, the system change, it's taken him a little longer to kind of adapt to Alain Vigneault's system down there. But I would be more apt to pick up Gostisbehere right now if he was in my league than maybe where I was about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Well, Provorov has had a breakout season, to say the least, but it's nice to see Gostisbehere turning the corner and getting back to fantasy relevance. The Colorado Avalanche, James, are one of the hottest teams in the league right now, but they had two injury concerns after a season loaded with them. Cale Makar left the game the other day. Philip Grubauer left the game the other day. There's Pavel Francouz, who's been amazing, 7-2 with a 930 plus save percentage. And there's also a couple of defensemen, whether it's Samuel Girard, you know, playing on the power play one if Makar misses some time. Also, Ryan Graves has been a great pickup. Who are you looking to for some relief with more injuries on the horizon for Colorado?
I think Girard would be definitely the player who I would target the most on defense if he was available there. I don't know if Ian Cole is still a guy who I would consider. I was a little hot on him early in the season. He had that one stretch, but he's cooled off significantly since then. So Girard would definitely be the player I would look at if Makar is going to miss significant time, because he's just the easiest one to just slot in and move up with that. As far as losing Grubauer, I guess, you know, he has been hurt already once this season, so it kind of depends on how long he's out for. We saw their goaltending core of their backup goalies handle Grubauer being out well, so I think if you are a Grubauer owner, just picking up the next guy in line for the Avalanche has proven to be fruitful this season in the short stints where Grubauer hasn't played. But I don't think that Makar, from everything that we've heard so far, it doesn't seem like it's going to be too serious of an injury, so I don't expect him out too long. He may rest him a few games out there, but I'm not overly concerned and running to the waiver wire just yet to pick up somebody in his place until I know exactly how much time he's going to miss. But with Grubauer, the thing with him has always been, can he stay healthy? So always having a backup option if you're a Grubauer owner is never a bad thing.
Zach Hyman's kept his lineup placement with John Tavares and Mitch Marner. Do you think that's the player on this list, James, that not only has the best placement but also the best category coverage?
I think so. When you look at what he's done over his last two games, three goals, 11 shots on goal, two hits, you know, he's definitely proven that he has the ability to score when he's been on that line in the past with Tavares and Marner last season. So he's definitely one of those players where I think if he's available in any league format, I'm going to take a flyer on him, just because of the fact that it seems no matter what, John Tavares and Mitch Marner like playing with him. They like him on that line. And normally speaking, it doesn't look like the Maple Leafs want to mess with the chemistry there. So as long as Zach Hyman has the trust of those guys as their line mate, I'm going to put him in my lineup, because he seems probably good for about 20 to 30 goals a season playing with two elite players like that.
And Hyman is great for the hits always, so that just boosts his stock if you're streaming him in season long. One more from me, James. Islanders at Lightning. I know you're a big Islanders guy. Lightning are heavy, heavy favorites tonight, Monday night, after dispatching the San Jose Sharks over the weekend. Do you trust the Islanders as big underdogs here? Because their goaltending tandem's as good as anybody's.
Yeah, their goaltending tandem has been fantastic since last season when Barry Trotz and Mitch Korn were able to dig their hands into them, and it's continued over to this year. You know, Thomas Greiss had an inconsistent game over the weekend, and it looks like they're going to continue with the goalie rotation, so it should be Semyon Varlamov who goes tonight for the Islanders, and he has been playing fantastic hockey as of late. So I would say that with the inconsistencies of the Lightning offensively, and especially with the inconsistencies of Andrei Vasilevskiy, in that I wouldn't consider the Lightning a heavy favorite. Obviously, they're playing in Tampa Bay, so I would give the edge to the Lightning there. But right now, just from the eye test in goal, I would say Varlamov is playing better than Andrei Vasilevskiy at the moment. So I would give the Islanders the nod in the goaltending matchup there tonight. I definitely think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a fun game. I think, you know, these teams have played very close games the last two seasons. So, you know, I wouldn't say that the Lightning are a heavy favorite, especially if Varlamov is in net for the Islanders.
Good take, James, and it should be a close one, or at least we hope so. So thank you for joining us on this Monday, as always.
All right, guys, always a pleasure, and I'll talk to you next week.
Waiver Wire James, our good buddy. Follow him on Twitter at jharding_hockey. So, Rob, piggybacking off the goaltending talk, There are some good options out there. I would actually, for whatever reason right now, I'm leaning like Georgiev. I just think two shutouts in a week span. Lundqvist, like, quote-unquote illness, but Georgiev has started three of the past four. It's shifting in that direction. We all know it.
And don't be one of those people that's checking the standings every single day. There's no point right now. You're going to drive yourself insane. We probably won't ever hear from you again, so be careful there. But if you do, you're going to see right now the Rangers are on the tail end of a playoff berth in the East. So Georgiev, great pickup there. I will say, though, be careful with the Rangers because, as Bill Price called it, he's got the pulse on the Rangers. We had him on the show in the beginning of the year, and he said they get up for a big game, they win it, and then they lay a stinker the next game. So that's my only worry with Georgiev. That's why my chips are all in on Tristan Jarry. Time and time again, he stepped up when Matt Murray's either injured or has a personal reason. Whatever the case is, Jari's been the guy there.
I just think there's a little bit more consistency with Jarry. And with Georgiev, remember, you got Lundqvist there in the background. So how many starts is Georgiev going to get, even if he is performing really well? I get it. It's
true.
Trending in that direction. But Jarry is someone who's going to get more opportunity than Georgiev just because Murray struggled and he doesn't have Lundqvist there behind him.
True. I actually saw, though, Rangers PR tweeted out a stat that the Rangers are the only organization in the league right now that have a goalie in the NHL, the AHL, and NCAA with like over .920 save percentage. So I just thought that was funny, maybe a little foreshadowing. We know there's a goalie controversy brewing, especially in the years to come.
It sounds like it's brewing at all levels there for them in the organization, which is cool. But going back to the Avalanche here, Pavel Francouz, a lot of questions on Twitter. I can't even shout you guys out because there's been so many in my DMs last night and this morning. The situation there in Colorado, I really have to wonder, you know, if Grubauer, this is his first year as a full-time starter. So maybe in keeper leagues there's implications there. I think it's still too early to say. But how many times can the Colorado Avalanche keep responding well to these injuries?
Well, at least they have their top three guns offensively, so you feel a little bit better. I mean, they've supported Francouz before. I really like what he has brought. Even last year, remember he only got like two starts, but he had like a .950 save percentage. Started this year a little slow, but he is rolling right now. The team has like a little swagger when he gets in the crease for some odd reason. So that's just something to look at. That's a guy that you want in your corner fantasy-wise when you're starting him maybe once or twice a week.
Easy decision if you are a Grubauer owner. You've got to pick up Francouz now, at least until Grubauer comes back. Again, we don't have a timetable for you guys there. Just keep an eye on it on Twitter. And then for Cale Makar, that is a massive, absolutely massive loss for their blue line. I mean, he's been everything as promised and even more this year.
Yep.
So for fantasy owners, I hate for it to be this situation, but unless you have one of those top 10 defensemen, according to NHL.com, I just don't think you're going to get any at all close value on the waiver wire here.
What do you think about Graves? Because since you were touting him, he keeps going with some category coverage. You think he's like? What do you think about that Girard versus Graves comparison? Because it looked like Girard was on the power play one last time.
I love me some power play one for that Avalanche team, but I'm in a league that cats are so important, and I need those hits. I need those blocks. I need that plus minus. So that's why I would side with Graves. But again, I think Pete, this has a negative implication for both those guys because now they've got to play more minutes at even strength. They got to play harder minutes at even strength, and that can wear you down over time.
Yeah, let's just say hypothetical, Makar misses like five games. Mm-hmm. Graves, his whatever it is, plus 17. It's not going to be a plus 17 after those games. Might be more like a plus 10. So maybe you just steer clear of this team altogether if and when these guys miss any time.
Exactly. They're definitely benefiting from having Makar in the lineup, but they don't have him. So let's move ahead here, talk a little bit about the Bolts, who had a nice response this weekend, broke out against the Sharks. Alex Killorn, he's a guy, left wing position, very valuable in fantasy. Do you think he is emerging this year as the real deal? We saw it in years past with different guys, Yanni Gourde, Andre Palat. Do you think it's Killorn now this year, rest of season?
Killorn is a guy, I think you said it best a couple of weeks ago when he was hot, when he had the 7-game point streak. He is just like streaky, streaming. Strictly a streamer, strictly a DFS play if he fits your like lineup price point. This is not someone that you can trust over the course of the season. So I just to take those words out of your mouth, that's what I would reiterate.
Okay, and here, speaking of the Bolts, had a great Twitter question for you. Someone asked about Tyson Barrie. He kind of cooled off a little bit after the hot start, after the coaching change. Now is at the point where people are asking, I've got a guy like Shattenkirk available, some kind of an Ekholm, some intriguing guys on the wire, not to the name value of Barrie, but is that a situation where you might posture and make that change now?
I think I would keep Tyson Barrie. I just think that we haven't seen the very best of the Maple Leafs. We haven't seen their full lineup placement, and we're starting to see things evolve here. Like we were talking about how Hyman, even though we thought he'd be in the bottom six, he's finding his way and sticking in the top six. I think that goes for a couple other players as well. And we, we even see some wrinkles right now. Like I saw Pontus Åberg was recalled over the weekend. It was actually playing with Matthews and Nylander. So they're still where they have a new coach. He's has everybody back on the drawing board, and he's going to try some new things here. So I think it directly will benefit Tyson Barrie because he was a player that completely fell out of favor with the old regime, and they need to maximize him for the rest of the season.
And in my leagues, we're getting to the point in the season in fantasy where there's hardly any players available that, to me, have good staying power for the rest of the season.
Right.
So be sure, everybody, to check your wire this morning. We're getting close to mid-December now, and as we all know, the fantasy playoff push starts in just a few weeks here. So, boys, time to make those moves now.
Robbie, one other thing I wanted to get to before the Monday slate. Alexander Radulov, we hit the nail on the head with him. He bounced back, had a multi-point game. We actually got some questions over the weekend, shallow leagues, strictly to that, because this guy should be owned in a standard league. But would you, like, is he a must-own player in a shallow league after his slow start? But he has very high caliber.
100%. Talk about staying power. He's got it all. I mean, that is a must-add player. There's nothing else to even say about it.
I think the healthy scratch with Radulov was surprising for us all. But Jim Montgomery did it because he apparently wasn't working hard enough. So I think Radulov is going to be in the lineup night in and night out. So I would stick with him and let him go. He's a skilled player. He's got good players around him. Stick with Radulov.
Absolutely. I mean, and it was a great sign to see the Dallas power play go 2-for-2. When was the last time that happened in a game? It has to be months. I mean, honestly, that power play is so underachieving. If that gets going, ripple effect on Radulov, you'll see a lot more than whatever it is, 17 points in 30 games. I mean, that is a total mirage. This player could go point per game the rest of the way.
Monday slate time. Monday slate time. What do we got? 4 or 5 games. A lot of heavy favorites. And quite frankly, a little bit of value on the board here and there, but not much. I'm going to look at the totals. There's a couple teams I might take as dogs, but I'm not touching the big favorites tonight.
Biggest storyline tonight is Nicklas Backstrom comes back for the Caps. Top line placement alongside Ovi and Tom Wilson. Major fantasy implications, also gambling implications. But honestly, when I look at the Monday board, there is absolutely no appeal. The only two teams you can make money on tonight are taking the Islanders or the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, when I looked at it, I like the Flames. I think the Flames, as an underdog, are the team that I would focus on tonight.
And with the Flames, we have to erase. Remember that six-game stretch where they were like 0-5-1 or whatever? They have completely erased that by going the reverse over their past six games. So almost like get that out of your mind and start to look at the Flames a little bit more like you did last season. I mean, as a playoff contender, a team that could avenge that slow start.
And I'm going to say it's going to be very hard for the Avalanche to win this game because the Flames play a heavy, heavy style. And if you're banged up and you've got some injuries, that is not a team that you want to face.
Do you have any interest if you're in a league with face-offs and a deeper league? Do you have interest in Backlund, who's now playing with Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan? It's interesting. One's playing on the left, the other's playing on the right. Backlund's in the middle, and it seems to be working out under Jeff Ward.
I think Sean Monahan's wrist injury or hand injury from last year, the nagging hand thing he had, might have carried over because he's not taking draws, which is normally a sign that your hands aren't 100%. So Backlund, yeah, I mean, if that lineup placement's going to stick, absolutely. If not, at the very least, get this guy in your DFS lineup. Get this guy as a streamer spot if you have one in fantasy season long. So yes, P, 100%.
And Backlund usually plays with Tkachuk. Now Tkachuk is with Lindholm, and maybe that's just the after effects of the coaching change, but new wrinkle, and the Flames seem to be stepping it up. Backlund, I think, has an assist in four of his past six games, so
not bad.
Little baby steps for him.
And we discussed it with James Harding, big Islanders guy. Listen, you take the value on the Islanders tonight. Tampa Bay's been up and down. They're minus 175 favorites. We saw it from them last week. They lose to the Minnesota Wild. Then they come out and beat the San Jose Sharks, blow them out of the water. And the Islanders are a good team. You know they're going to have a shot. Should be nip-tuck, although they are floundering a bit, the Islanders, right now.
It's crazy. Like, the talent on paper, you would never... Tampa Bay is so far superior, but in terms of the way they're going to be playing in the actual hockey game, the Islanders have that like championship type intensity that I feel like would knock the Lightning off their feet a little bit. So I would pick the Islanders. I think it's a good against the grain.
I don't hate that pick, boys. And keep in mind, from the Lightning this season, what have we seen? We've seen them win a big game and then kind of lay flat the next time. So this could be an interesting situation. If you do take the Islanders, get a little scratch there, maybe parlay it with a Boston, maybe parlay it with a Washington, who we feel a little bit more safe tonight.
You're talking about parlays. This is what I would do. And it would just be, it's a long shot parlay, but take the two dogs that we like, Calgary and the Islanders, $25. It's going to pay out at least $160. That's pretty good value. That's going to be a nice hit if you hit that. So, you know, something to keep in mind if you just want to have a little baloney on the game and have some fun.
Yeah, those are two picks that could definitely happen without a doubt. And you just go into it with that expectation. If one of them lose, it's like, oh, whatever. But you're going for the ceiling with that type of a wager.
DFS plays?
Again, DFS plays going back to the Caps. I mean, Nick Backstrom's a guy that's got to be in the lineup. Ovi, you know, might be, have to be in the lineup. Vrana at this point might have to be in the lineup. I mean, you could probably get three or four Caps in your lineup. Even if they win 3-0, you're probably getting value there.
It's interesting that Kuznetsov will now play with Vrana if Backstrom's moving up top. I mean, either way, you love that for Vrana, who's having an amazing season on pace for like 35, 40 goals. So he's a lineup lock at this point without a doubt. We still don't know anything about Bergeron. They play the Senators. Senators are falling apart after that good stretch, 1-4 on their road trip. So maybe go Boston, go a little Torrey Krug action or a little power play one, no matter how you can.
I did see Bergeron's now been placed on IR. So I guess good news for fantasy owners because you can stash him in that spot, but bad news for fantasy owners because this is a guy that not only do you need if you have Bergeron, but if you have Pasternak and you have Marchand, yes, they're still going to produce. Yes, they're still elite wing options, but Bergeron, man, he's really that guy that puts them even higher over the edge.
Here's the deal with Bergeron. Just get him ready for the playoffs. There's no rush to get him back. I know he wants to play. I know he wants to be in the lineup, but he needs to be healthy in April and May. And so this is a lingering issue, as we know. Get him healthy for the playoffs. Maybe a little load management throughout the season if he wants to come back and get some reps. He's on IR now. But yeah, I mean, it's tough for the Bruins, but they'll sustain and they'll be okay. For fantasy owners, if you have Bergeron, it's a shot to the gut.
Yeah, and what if you don't have an IR spot?
I mean, that's one of the worst things in fantasy is when you have a guy who's day-to-day for 2 or 3 weeks and you have no IR spot to stash him, or you can't stash him because he's technically still just out, not IR eligible. So hopefully this brings some clarity to that situation and you can just move on, because that's another thing, like we were talking about with maybe adding Graves, if you have Makar. Like, I love having that roster spot to play with in some of these leagues. Some of my leagues are solidified and then you feel like you have to make a rash move just to make a roster change. So having somebody out for a few weeks, not the worst thing in the world.
And then other DFS targets too. We mentioned that Michael Backlund's got great lineup placement, so nice value center to round it out. And for wing options, I think you do have to look at Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, he's been knocking at the door of a big game lately, and I think we're going to see one of these games. He's just absolutely going to tear it up, highlight real goals, and then everyone's going to forget about that little skid they had.
For sure. I like going cheap on defense. I would go, like, whether or not Makar plays, I would go with Samuel Girard on D with the power play exposure to McKinnon, Rantanen, Landeskog. They're all back and ready to go, so they're going to be dangerous, even though we're talking up the Flames. And then, of course, Ryan Pulock. We were looking on Friday, I believe. I'm sure those his placement in the leaderboard on the Islanders still stands. He's among their power play point leaders. I think he was tied for the top with, like, four. He's among their shots on goal leaders, including the forwards, and not a bad point profile either. So Ryan Pulock, get him in your lineup.
I know I've mentioned many times I'm not going to jump in front of the Boston Bruins train, but another dog tonight, keep in mind the Ottawa Senators tonight against Boston. I know it sounds crazy, but Thanksgiving Eve they played in Boston, and Ottawa went into the third period with a 2-0 lead. They ended up blowing it, losing it. They could play him tough at home tonight. And again, good value. And if you parlayed the three of those underdogs, oh my God. I mean, you'll be eating on the house for weeks to come. Just something to keep an eye on.
Right, you'll have all your Christmas money, right, for Christmas gifts and everything if you play those three.
Well, I'm looking at a Rolex, so I need to hit a couple more of those parlays.
You might be betting on the NFC East Giants tonight,
No, that's completely stay away from that disaster. That's the Monday night game. Oh, my God, is that a bad game for the National Football League tonight? Oh, boy.
Swinging back here to pucks, Senators did change their lines. Pretty interesting combinations. I recommend checking them out for yourself on Twitter. Honestly, when you look at that team on paper, it could be a lot worse considering they are in the midst of a full rebuild.
Yeah, guys like Duclair have been producing on and off this season. They have big game appeal. You look at the winners of some random contests, especially when the Senators play on a light night, you'll see names like Anthony Duclair or Namestnikov or some of these no-names that are putting forth multi-point games every so often. They're inconsistent, but they have big game.
And the last thing before we wrap here, I just wanted to say I am a little concerned about the Islanders tonight. If they do lose, if Tampa Bay's offense stays hot, the Islanders are going to be in a very much a pickle with their goalies, because if Varley gets shelled tonight, if he starts, they're going to have to go back to Greiss. And he, although he's been making 30-plus saves in a game, he's got a couple losses in a row too. So that's, again, just to be a little bit more of a, you know, big picture guy here, that's what I would be looking at from this game.
Well, we said it the other day, like if the Islanders went on like a 10-game losing streak at some point this season, we wouldn't be surprised based on their talent level. They have the work ethic, they have the coaching, but sometimes it only takes you so far. Any team in this league is going to go on a 5-game losing streak at some point this season, almost every single one, including the Bruins, right, who lost like 3 or 4 in a row at one point.
Who is Lou Lamoriello going to bring in at the trade deadline to increase the talent, to increase the goal
Nobody.
Output? You don't think Lou's going to make a move?
When has he made a move recently?
Recently, but he's been known to make, he's swung and taken some big swings with the Devils at the trade deadline. If there's someone he tried to get Panarin, again, I don't know, is Noah Dobson a guy you would trade?
Probably. I mean, they're so deep on D, anyone can suit up on
exactly.
D and play
so
there.
I'm just wondering, I wouldn't sleep on Lou making a move here. The team is really good. They need some more talent. They need some goal scoring. I wouldn't be shocked if Lou takes a big swing at someone. Just keep an eye out.
I just don't think there's many players like that available this year. You know, I mean, I think Taylor Hall is going to jam up a lot of the trade deadline talk, and certainly we hope, you know, maybe something interesting like that happens, because let's be honest here, it makes fantasy a lot more exciting.
Well, we'll see. The standings will work their way out, and then who's buyers, who's sellers. But I think the Islanders have to be buyers, have to be. Now, I'm not saying mortgage the future, but if you're where you're at right now with the Islanders, I mean, you have to get some more offense to get ready for the playoffs here.
Yeah, they've been stockpiling prospects for years, without a doubt. So, yeah, we've been kind of waiting for that big move, the big splash. It hasn't happened, certainly in the Lamoriello era, and even in the Garth Snow era, he was like almost stubborn about keeping those prospects that they had accumulated from over the years. And looking at some of the UFAs this year, just for a reminder, like besides the big names, Taylor Hall, Nicholas Backstrom, Dadonov, Hoffman. There are guys like Granlund, Howla, Galchenyuk, Toffoli. I would like to see Tyler Toffoli on the Islanders' power play one, would you?
I just don't think it's big enough for a New York market, and it's nothing against Tyler Toffoli. I've just been waiting for the Islanders to really make that star move.
Like a Taylor Hall.
Like a Taylor Hall.
I would say Taylor Hall would be a possibility if the teams weren't in the same market.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely.
So it's very rare to see the Devils and Islanders work a deal out.
Mm-hmm.
If the Islanders were in California, believe me, Lou would be able to get Taylor Hall and probably would push for him, but the Devils aren't dealing Taylor Hall to the New York Islanders. It's not going to happen.
No. I agree. That's not going to happen. So, great show. Any other picks for tonight? I think my pick of the night is Isles at Tampa Bay. I just like the style. I like the bounce back appeal for New York.
Okay. I'm going to take the Calgary Flames tonight, and maybe I'll do the parlay. Maybe I'll do a triple parlay. Senators, Flames and Islanders, and what, $25 to win maybe $300 plus? Why not?
I don't have a lock tonight. We discussed the games at length. You know where I stand on them. If you want to throw up the cash on a Monday, it's all up to you.
Sounds good. And we'll have another show for y'all on Tuesday. Reminder to check out the other podcasts in the podcast network, Puck Culture, NHL Executive Suite, et cetera, at the rink.
Yes, please, for the Fantasy on Ice listeners, give a click to Puck Culture. Do it for me. It would be much appreciated. Andy Lassner, a big Kings fan, and is the Ellen DeGeneres producer, will be on this week. We're going to ask him a bunch of stuff about the Kings. He's a good guest. He'll be fun. Give it a play. Give it a listen. Help us out here at the National Hockey League.
Sounds good. Follow Bob at Aircheck, Robbie at NHL Reese, myself, NHL Jensen. Hit us up with questions throughout the week as you get your lineups in order, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.